Well, good morning. Good to be back. Just to give you a heads up, as I go through the message about midway through, I'm going to ask if there's any two or three volunteers who would like to read from the Bible for all of us. So be thinking whether you want to volunteer for that. It'll just be a psalm, so nothing too difficult. Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Let me know when you're there. Acts chapter 8. We're going to begin reading at verse 27. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join his chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please, tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. The public, the world today, suffers from not hearing or reading the Bible. And as a result, it isn't informing or shaping their life. Does that make sense? You know, do you realize how much what we read and what we hear shapes our life? Maybe as adults, we've kind of lost that understanding. But we intuitively know, we experientially know, that we raise up children. We teach them. We read to them. We have them read. We speak to them. We teach them. And it shapes their life. But we're not done. Until the day we die, the things that we're reading and hearing inform our life, our spirit, and shape our life. Turn with me now to the next book, which is Romans 10. Next book after Acts. Romans 10, verse 14. Romans 10, verse 14. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things.' However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, 'The Lord, who has believed our report?' So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the words of Christ." Are you familiar with that scripture?
Yeah.
Much of what we've been reading this morning is in the New Testament, but it's from Isaiah. His prophecy, and had come true, and here we are analyzing and considering these things that the prophet Isaiah said. And here the eunuch was going along in his chariot reading from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, if you find yourself reading it or looking for something to read, chapter 53 speaks towards the coming Messiah. So this is how we can safely say that Israel, the Jews, knew that the Messiah was going to come, that he was coming, and what his call in life was. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the words of Christ. If people were to hear the Bible, it will likely move them. They will hear about God from himself. As Adrian and I were driving around, we had lots of time to listen to preacher videos and sermons. And I was just really moved on one of them where they were reading a psalm. And we didn't have it in front of us because we're driving. And it just really spoke to our heart. I mean, it moved our spirit. And I came to realize what we're talking about this morning, that people need to hear the Bible. You know, we're constantly telling you, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. But we need to hear it also. We need to hear the words audibly spoken, and so do others. So what are people hearing if not the Bible? They're hearing maybe things about the Bible, but not the Bible. They're typically hearing a single verse called and trying to justify something, a point or an agenda, and that's what we call in the ministry proof texting. In other words, we're using one verse to provide proof or evidence for our point. And that's a really dangerous and shallow way to approach Scripture and being fed, because typically what happens is it's being used out of context. If you take one verse out of context, you can easily twist it to make it say what you want it to say, right? But people need to hear the Word of God, and we are called by Jesus to go read it to them. Do you realize that? We are called to go read the Bible to people, to share the Word with them. And when they hear the Bible's words read to them in context and truth, it reveals God. It reveals His power, His strength, His wisdom, His love, His kindness, His goodness, everyday stuff, holiness in context, sovereign plans, promises of God, and hope. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, until I come, in other words, he was planning on visiting Timothy. He had trained Timothy to be a pastor and shepherd of a church. He was planning on coming to visit him. He says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Well, where is Paul talking about public reading? What does he mean, public reading? Well, it implies that it's at the home. We should be reading the Bible out loud at home to our spouse or kids or whatever. It should be in the school. You know, I don't mean to insult or hammer or beat up on teachers, but we as Christians are supposed to be reading the Bible in the school to the kids. I know it's been forbidden, but that's not what God says. What about at a coffee shop? You know, you might be saying, it should be kind of fun to, you know, evangelize someone or read the Bible to someone, but I don't know where or how to do it, and I'm not comfortable going and stopping somebody on the street and say, hey, can I read the Bible to you? Go to a coffee shop. Hang out, have your Bible open, look for that opportunity, pray for that opportunity. And this might be a no-duh statement, but it should be read in the church. A lot of churches don't read more than just a verse, if that. Nursing homes, jails, short-term visit. But in the scripture where Paul was saying, give attention to the public reading of scripture, in that context, he was saying, Timothy, from your childhood, you have known the sacred writings. In other words, he'd been raised with the sacred writings being read to him, him having to memorize them and repeat them. These sacred writings are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through Jesus. And then he goes on to remind Timothy of what we all have experienced and should believe, that all scripture, in other words, every single word and every page, every chapter, is inspired by God. And it's profitable, helpful, informative for teaching, for reproof, for correction. Sometimes we do need to be corrected, right? In righteousness, so that every man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So if we're going to be equipped to go out and do what Jesus says, go and make disciples, we need to be reading the Bible. We need to be reading it out loud to others. Sermons should contain scripture reading. Maybe some of you have experienced by going to some churches and it's just a talk. They're quoting other people, and so often they're not even quoting other pastors or other sermons or scripture. They're just quoting other well-known people, like, you know, Steve Jobs said this or that, you know. So scripture needs to be read in the church. And that's why we have Adrian or whoever does call worship. They read the Psalms and other scriptures. And today, as I said, I'm going to offer a request that some volunteers actually read some scripture out loud to the church. Bible studies should contain an awful lot of Bible reading. Now you laugh. I heard somebody laugh. I didn't see it, but I don't know about you, but I've been to Bible studies where they have a book that's not the Bible, and that's what they're studying.
Like what?
It could be a book about the Bible.
Max Lucado reads a lot of them.
Yeah. And so, just like, you know, when you have a devotional in the morning, and you read maybe one verse, and then you read some stuff about that verse, and that's it. So, you know, I think God's standard, our standard here, is there ought to be an awful lot of Bible reading. And that's why during our Bible studies, when we get together, we read the whole chapter. We just go through the chapter right from the Bible. It's important for you to open your Bible and read along in these settings. Why is that? Well, again, not to pick on any one religion or anything, but a lot of the early churches, in particular the Catholic Church, is really known for this, is not letting the people read their own Bible. Only the priests reading, they would read it in a language that nobody knew. But then the printing press came along, and then it was translated, and they were able to get it in the hands of everyone here. So my question is, I mean, if we're so blessed, if we can so easily have one of these in our hands at no cost, are we reading it? Are we reading it out loud to other people? One of the things that I was amazed about on my mission trips to India and Africa is the greatest thing you could give anyone was a Bible. They're just clamoring to have a Bible in their hands to read. And in fact, our church does send Bibles to some of these churches in Africa and India when they have revivals and have new believers that don't have a Bible. So this next part is where I'm looking for some volunteers. I'll volunteer myself for the first one. And the rest of us, when the person's reading, I want to encourage you to listen. You know, listen with your ears and your spirit. And just think about the words that are being read. And pay attention to how you feel. How does it make you feel when you hear it? Okay? So turn with me to Psalm 46. And maybe those that are listening to this message online, maybe they're driving and they're hearing these words. You know, pay attention to the road, but also listen to what the Spirit is saying. Are you there, Psalm 46? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. He will not be moved. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised a voice. The earth is melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, our stronghold. Selah. Are you feeling it? Are you getting there? We got more. We got more. Who will read chapter or Psalm 47 for us? Okay, Kim, please stand up and read loudly.
Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout to the Lord, with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted.
Amen. Thank you. Another volunteer for Psalm 47. Greg, please stand up and to project.
The Lord God is wonderful. He deserves all praise in the city where he lives. His holy mountain, beautiful and majestic, brings joy to all the earth. Mount Zion, truly sacred, is home for the great king. God is there to defend it and has proved to be its protector. Kings joined forces to attack the city, but when they saw it, they were terrified and ran away. They trembled all over like women giving birth or like seagoing ships, wrecked by eastern winds. We had heard it all about it and now have seen it in the city of our God, the Lord all-powerful. This is the city that God will let stand forever. Our God, here in your temple, we think about your love. You are famous and praised everywhere on earth as you win victories with your powerful arm. Mount Zion will celebrate and all Judah will be glad because you bring justice. Let's walk around Zion and count its towers. We will see its strong walls and visit each fortress. Then you can say to future generations, our God is like this forever and will always guide us.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you getting fired up yet? All right, last one, Psalm 49. Anyone? Go for it.
Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all who inhabit the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth speaks wisdom. My heart's meditation brings understanding. I turn my ear to a proverb. I explain my riddle for why should I fear in times of trouble? The iniquity of my foes surrounds me. They trust in their wealth and boast of their abundant riches. Yet these cannot redeem a person or pay his ransom to God. Since the price of redeeming him is too costly, one should forever stop trying, so he may live forever and not see the pit. For one can see that wise men die, foolish and stupid men also pass away. When they leave their wealth to others, their graves are their eternal homes. Their homes for generation and generation, though they have named estates after themselves, but despite his assets, man will not last. He is like the animals that perish. This is the way of those who are arrogant, and of their followers who approve their words, so lie. Like sheep, they are headed for Sheol. Death will shepherd them, and the upright will rule over them in the morning, and their form will waste away in Sheol. Far from their lofty abode, but God will redeem my life from the power of Sheol, for he will take me, so lie. Do not be afraid when a man gets rich, when the wealth of his house increases. For when he dies, he will take nothing at all. His wealth will not follow him down. Though he praises himself during his lifetime, and people praise you when you do well for yourself, for the generation of his brothers, they will never see the light. A man without valuable possessions, but without the understanding, is like animals that perish.
Good job. Thank you. So, as I said earlier, what we read affects our spirit. What we read affects our spirit. What are you reading? We find most people are reading social media posts, news posts, texts, emails, notifications, online videos, and if you think about it, our phones are pestering us. Ding! You know, interrupting. You can't go through your day. I mean, just you don't have peace and quiet. Just hear those dings. That notification says, "Hey, pay attention to me." You know, somebody sent me something. And it will drive you crazy. So I want to get all of us to examine our reading. Because I think we've gotten to a point where most of us are too busy to read a novel. A novel, you know, like 200 or 300 pages in a book. And our daily reading has become all these short snippets. You know, professionals, you may read a manual or a textbook on your job and skills for your job, but that's giving you intellectual training. It's not feeding your spirit. To read a novel, you have to kind of sit down and focus, right? You're having to focus on one thing for an extended period of time. You know, text, email, social media, even news articles, they only take a couple minutes to read. And truth be known, we're all reading it while we're walking or driving or talking to somebody. You know, how much attention are we giving it? But even more importantly, the content that we're reading from these things is not deep. It's not deep. It has no life-changing wisdom or truth. And it doesn't cause you to spend time thinking on these things. What things? The things that God tells us to. things that are true, honorable, pure, right, lovely, things that are of good repute, excellent, praiseworthy, things that are wise, things that are renewing, things that are transforming, things that are grounding. Secular reading might provoke your intellect, but not your spirit. The Bible is spiritually alive. Secular reading is not. Secular reading does not provoke your spirit. Even spiritual reading of a pagan religion can't, it can provoke your flesh, but it can't provoke your spirit if you've got God's spirit in you. It makes you feel in charge, makes you feel proud, full of control, full of knowledge, such that you will feel so proud and feel authorized to and have the authority and feel authorized to hurt others. Because that's what that secular book is telling you to do. Whereas biblical reading, it turns your spirit towards God. And it gives you a sense of awe and reverence. It literally speaks to your spirit. And it's the same with people we meet. Especially those that we meet who are not reading the Bible or hearing the Bible. And that's why today I'm challenging us as a body, as we go through our week, our daily schedule, look for those opportunities to read the Bible to someone. It's the greatest form of evangelism, you know, because that's God's word speaking. People, when they hear us and we're just telling them stuff about the Bible or about God, it may have power when they hear it, and it may not. But God's word is powerful. So again, what's this common thread that secular reading and all this short bits of reading that we have, you know, social media, text messages, whatever, all that, you know, what are they? They're really 140 characters of one-way snippets of narcissism, of arguing, of inane statements, meaningless statements, fake statements, inflaming statements. Can I get a witness? I mean, I don't know about you, but I can read. I got off Facebook because I just could not stand all of this going. I mean, I have Messenger, so if you need to communicate with me, you can. But I had to get off because of that, and I even had to change what news I will look into and listen to, because, man, in my spirit, you know, it gets you angry. It wants you to go out and do something. This is a dramatic contrast with God's words. God's words can have an immediate effect on a non-believer's soul. Look what we just read. That eunuch was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip came along and discipled him. And the eunuch said, "What's to stop me from getting baptized right now?" It had an immediate effect on his spirit. So if you're choosing to read something, read a portion of the Bible to someone, don't pick out like Leviticus 13 or, you know, something out of Revelation or Daniel or Ezekiel, because it's so mysterious. They're going to have a hard time understanding that because they're not yet a spiritual man. To understand some of these things, we have to be a spiritual man. So pick the things where God is speaking to us, and the non-believer will hear that, and it can impact their spirit and bring them to Christ. I also don't want you to go away today thinking that I told you only read the Bible, don't read anything else. I'm not saying that. secular reading, fiction, nonfiction, whatever. I mean, fine, read some stuff. But we have got to get back to, we've got to shift a little bit. We've got to switch paradigms to where we're reading the Bible first. And then we can fill in other things. So, to finish up, I just want to repeat the two points, the two main points of this message, and that is the recognition that the public, the world, is not hearing the words of the Bible. They're not hearing the words of God. They're not reading the Bible. And God has called us to read it to them, to take it to them. And secondly, that faith comes from hearing. In other words, they need to hear the words of God. And hearing, in other words, spiritual hearing comes through the words of Christ. So here comes the difficult part. Adrian and I were we were back in town, and we went to the Lost Cajun on Mardi Gras Day. We didn't know it was Mardi Gras Day, but we went in there, and the owner said, "Happy Mardi Gras, it's Mardi Gras Day." So, oh, okay. And then we asked her, "Well, what is Mardi Gras exactly?" I mean, we know it's a party, but you know, why did they start it? And so we started digging into it, and it was kind of funny seeing all of the things that come out of it. But some of the definitions were coming is, it was what the early Christians followed the day after Mardi Gras. In other words, they partied all day, drank all day, and then they started 40 days of Lent. Lent is a church holiday, a church tradition, and they give up something. They fast from something. They do things and with the purpose of getting closer to God. Now, whether that works or not, you know, that's you know, another message, another day. But I got to thinking, what does God want from us during these 40 days? It leads us up to Resurrection Sunday, which is this year's April 17th. Switches all around on us every year, but this year it's April 17th. So anyone want to guess what God told me we should do each day for these next 40 days?
Read the Bible.
Yes. So I want to see if I can challenge each of us here to read something from the Bible every day from now till April 17th. To do that, you may need to, I'm going to suggest and request that you turn off your notifications on your social media. Okay? Doesn't mean you won't get your messages. It just won't demand that you come look at them right now. Turn off your notification and go, you know, set some time. Okay, now's my time. I'm going to go look and see what I got there. And you will be surprised at how much stress that little ding was giving you. And instead of that, I put together a bookmark here of something to read every day for the next 40 days. Just one chapter from various portions of the Bible. The theme here is all about God, just God talking about who He is, what His character is, and how He's working with us people. So, there's only one right answer. Who would like one of these to take home?
Not me.
Pass them around.
So Mark, I was just gonna, there's actually, as a nurse, we have lots of alarms going off in the hospital. You know, beeps and sounds and buzzers and ringing and stuff. And they've actually done studies on something called, they call it alarm fatigue. Because, you know, for 12 hours of a shift, you have all these alarms going off that are telling you, like, this needs to be done and that needs to be done and you need to go take care of this and this person needs something. And And they've done studies to show how stressful that is, and how we start to like try to tune things out, or even and I know I've had the experience of like I'll go home and I'll still hear the alarms in my head. Like when I worked for EMS, there's a certain tone that meant we had a call coming, and you know, when that tone went out, your adrenaline went up, because you know, God only knew what you were going to, a car accident, someone having a heart attack, somebody with a gun, you never knew. And I would try to sleep, and I would wake up in the middle of the night hearing that tone out. I'd sit up in bed like, oh my gosh, I gotta go on a call, and I'd be at home from it. And so I think there's definitely studies to show that how much that can affect your brain, and you can even start to hear things when it's not there. So I think we do need to pay attention to our phone. I know when I used to teach childbirth classes, I used to tell the mom, because they'd come in and they'd be like, oh, I'm so exhausted, I can't sleep, and the baby's crying, and the phone's ringing. And I'd be like, well, turn off the stuff you don't need. Turn the ringer off of your phone. And if it's important, somebody will leave a message.
Turn the husband on.
So,
we're on.
No, you keep him around to birth the baby. You got to learn how to like not let, and this was before everybody had cell phones, so now it's even worse how we let that silly little phone control our behavior. And I think our kids are learning that, like, oh my gosh, what if I leave that phone somewhere else? And I think we need to.
They almost know nothing else.
Right. I'm like, that's why it's like you take it, and they've shown that you take those phones away from, and it's like a withdrawal. People actually have a dependence on them. And so I think it is important.
No, no, my son said there's no dependence on him. No, he said it, so it's not.
It's not
my son said that, so it's not true.
My daughter knows everything, and she is in this
book. So. Can I get that in writing?
It's recorded, that's why.
You know, the Bible needs something that comes on and tells you your reading time is down this week, or it's up, or, I'm always shocked.
Truly, try that. Turn off your notifications and let the Bible be first. Let your prayer time be first, and then you can move on to the rest of your day. Or maybe you do it in the evening or do it throughout the day, but just try turning it off fast from that little dingy bell for 40 days. And
so
watch out.
I can turn off my Telegram notifications from you, right?
Yeah. Just know to wake up and look at that at 5 in the morning. All righty. Well, praise God. Love you guys. And we're glad to be back, and glad you're still here. Let's gather around and pray for one another. That's good.